بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله today is the 11th of May in the year 2021 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 29th blessed day of the holy month of Ramadan and I've reached verse 93 of Surat Nisa So to spend the session on this blessed verse. So verse 93. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم If a man kills a believer intentionally, his reward is hell to abide therein and the wrath and the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him and an immense punishment is prepared for him. Subhanallah. So even without going through commentary, four things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises to the deliberate murderer, the one who kills a believer deliberately. The first is his reward is hell. Secondly, the wrath of Allah, ghadib. You've got the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thirdly, la'na, the curse of Allah, meaning you are deprived of all mercy. And fourthly, عَذَابًا عَذِيمًا An immense punishment. So now, what was the reason for the revelation of this verse? So there's a report. In Ibn Jarir in his tafsir, Ikrima, he said, one of the Ansar accidentally killed the brother of a man called Maqis ibn Sabaha. So putting it simply, an Ansar killed accidentally a man. The brother of the man who he had killed was called Maqis. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave Maqis the blood money for his killed brother. He accepted it. Yet, Maqis later attacked the killer, either Ansar, and he killed him. Upon this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I do not guarantee his peace. His security, even if he's in ihram or if he's in the haram. And subhanallah, he was killed on the day of the conquest. This verse was revealed about him. So what happened? A man took blood money for accidental murder. When he took the blood money, he then killed the one who had accidentally killed his brother. So Rasulullah, what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even if he's in ihram and even if he's around the Kaaba, kill him. And then that's exactly what happened. He was holding it. He goes, kill him. So this is the reason for the revelation of this verse. So now, another important thing is mentioned here. There's something about blood money that we need to know. So, there's a report in Ibn Abi Hatim Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Abdullah Ibn Abbas, he recited this verse. Surah 2 verse 178. And then he said, means those who kill in retaliation after the blood money, they will suffer a painful and severe torment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let's look at this. So there's reports that mention that the previous ummats, they only had two options. One was to kill in retaliation or to forgive. Our ummah, alhamdulillah, has been given a third option. You can take blood money. There was no blood money for the previous ummahs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about that in Surah 2 verse 178, that the blood money is a concession given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then he says in the verse, فَمَنِ اَتَدَى بَعْدَ ذَٰلِكَ فَلَهُ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ Whoever exceeds the limit shall have a severe punishment. Who is he referring to? Those who take the blood money and kill. So who is an example of that? This man. He took the blood money from Rasulullah and he killed. So now, this verse, now this is very important to explain. Surah 4 verse 93, the verse we're going through. This is only talking about the punishment in the hereafter. Surah 2 verse 178 talks about what you do in the world. You take the person's life. You take blood money or you forgive. So there's two separate verses. This verse is talking about what's going to happen to the murderer. Nothing about what's happening on the earth. To the two verse 178 is talking about what is to be done with regards to that person. So now, how grave is it for to deliberately kill a Muslim? There's many hadiths. I want to mention a few. In Abu Dawood Sahih, in Sahih al-Jami, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a believer will continue to move quickly towards paradise in a good state, just as long as he does not spill the forbidden blood. If he spills forbidden blood, he then becomes slow and heavy-footed. So look how the Prophet's explaining, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you're going towards paradise, any sinner that Allah will have mercy on you. But once you've got blood in your hands, it goes, it's like you put the emergency brakes on. Because now you are in trouble, the Prophet saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A second hadith. In Nasa'i, Sahih, in Sahih al-Jami, our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, the destruction of this world is lighter in the sight of Allah than the killing of a Muslim man. So look at these non-Muslims. Because if a meteorite comes, this world is finished. And look how they panic over it. So the whole world is destroyed. So you think, yeah, it is something to panic about. SubhanAllah, isn't that something? Yes, it is, of course. What is more severe in the sight of Allah? To kill a Muslim. So it doesn't matter what you think. You might think, oh, this is just a small thing. In the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's worse than somebody destroying the entire world in his sight. So how angry have you made Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A third report. In Nasa'i, Abu Dawud Ahmad graded Hassan in As-Sahiha, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it can be expected that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may forgive every sin except the sin of a man who intentionally kills a believer or a man who dies as an unbeliever. SubhanAllah. Let's look at this. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say? You can expect to be forgiven any sin except if you deliberately kill a believer or you die as a kafir. So dying as a kafir, we know the person's doomed. What did the Prophet add to that? If you die with this sin, you're in deep trouble. You've got blood on your hands. Here is a commentary. Hafiz al-Sindi rahmatullah said in his Hashiya volume 7 page 81, this means that he would be forgiven, he cannot be forgiven except without being punished first. So this is the meaning they take from it. So more scholars say it doesn't mean that you're going to go to hell forever. It means that Allah Ta'ala can forgive any sin. But when you've got blood in your hands, he will have to punish you first before you're forgiven. That's how they interpret this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In another report, in Ad-Diyah Sahih, in As-Sahih, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refuses to make for the killer of a believer any form of repentance. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah ta'ala doesn't give any avenue of tawbah for the killer. Now think about that. There's so many ways you can get your sins forgiven. Allah Ta'ala goes, no entry, barred, blocked. I've given no path to the deliberate killer of a Muslim. Another report. In Tirmidhi, and it's graded Sahih, in Sahih Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, if the inhabitants of the entire heavens and the inhabitants of the entire earth participated in the blood of a believer, then Allah the Almighty would certainly throw them all into the hellfire. Astaghfirullah, think about that. Everybody in the heavens, billions, trillions, God knows what's in the heavens. They all conspired to kill one Muslim. And everybody on the earth, who does Allah Ta'ala throw into the hell? The whole lot. All of you go to hell. So it's enough to destroy the entire creation, let alone one human being who's killed, who's got blood on his hands. So now, the scholars, the majority of scholars, they state. So before going to that, let me mention another report. So this is recorded in Sahih Bukhari, number 2359, Sahih Muslim, number 2357, Abu Dawud Tirmidhi, Imam Ahmad's Musnad. And the report mentions, sorry, the hadith is in Nasa'i, Sahih, in Sahih al-Jami, Ahmad in his Mustad, Tirmidhi graded it Hassan. Abdullah ibn Abbas relates that the Prophet said on the day of resurrection, the murdered would drag the murderer by his hair and head, blood flowing from the neck of the murderer. The murdered would say, "Oh my Lord, he killed me." And he will take him to the Arsh. Somebody asked Ibn Abbas, will his repentance never be accepted? Ibn Abbas recited this verse, verse 93. And he added, this verse is neither abrogated nor changed. How can his repentance be accepted? So let's look at this. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? That if you've killed somebody, he's going to drag you by the hair, drag you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's going to be bleeding. He goes, "Ya Allah, deal with him." So somebody then asked Ibn Abbas, "Oh, is there any repentance? Maybe the person can get forgiven." He recited this verse. He goes, "What forgiveness? No repentance." Right? He goes, "He has to get punished. Allah Ta'ala promised this in the Quran." So this is another sahih hadith given by our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another report. So this is recorded in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, number 2142, and it's a sahih hadith. Somebody then said, "Oh Ibn Abbas, what if he repents, believes, does many good deeds, follows guidance? Surely Allah Ta'ala will have mercy on him." Ibn Abbas said, "How can his tawbah be accepted? I heard Rasulullah say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, may his mother lose him. If a man kills another man deliberately, the victim will come on the day of judgment holding on to his killer with his right or left hand, holding on to the killer's head with his right or left hand, with his vein gushing with blood. And he will say, oh Lord, ask your slave why he killed me." So Ibn Abbas goes, "What repentance? I can't find a way out for the repentance for this person." He goes, "He's in trouble." So now people argue over these hadiths. These are sahih hadiths. Some say, what does the Quran say? It's Quran daif. Four things that Allah Ta'ala says is going to happen to the one who's killed. One is, he's going to hell. So who can change that? He's going to hell. Secondly, he's got the anger of Allah. Who can change that? Allah Ta'ala said, I'm angry with him. Thirdly, la'na. Now la'na doesn't mean curse. La'na means to soak away all the mercy. You're not deserving of any mercy. That's la'na. Who's cursed that person? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning no mercy is going to reach him. And finally, number four, a severe punishment is ready for him. So all Ibn Abbas was saying was, what? How? What repentance? He's explaining the verse. So now, having said that, what have the scholars said? The majority of scholars, they state, there is still a chance for complete repentance due to Surah 39 verse 53, Surah 4 verse 48, which mentions Allah Ta'ala will only not forgive shirk. Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Shafi state, the murderer is under the decision of Allah. He may forgive him or he may punish him with or without repentance. Imam Ahmad, in one report, he said, there is no repentance for the murderer. The scholars say, Allah Ta'ala knows best. Now, why did Imam, now I've explained why one of the Imams have differed. Because he looked at all these texts, he goes, sorry. Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Malik said, he's in deep trouble. But it's between him and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, whatever the case, no scholar on earth will say, he's alright. Because look, whatever case, I hope Imam Ahmad's wrong. If he's right, you're doomed. So now, another thing mentioned here. The hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim Ibn Majah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the first issue addressed on the day of judgment will be murder. Now this is important. When you go into a courtroom, the judge starts off with the big case. He doesn't waste his time with little ones. He goes straight for the big ones. In the divine court, what is the first case Allah Ta'ala is going to deal with? Murder. Think about that. Look how serious that matter is. He doesn't even wait for it. He goes, murder. We're going to deal with this. And what does he mention? The murderer wipes the other person out. He takes all his good deeds, chucks all his sins on him, and that's leaving aside the sin he's committed. So you've actually made his paradise by taking his life. In another report, Imam Shafi in his Al-Umm, volume 6, verse part 7, the hadith says, there was found within the Prophet's soul hold a document that read, the worst of Allah the Almighty's enemies is the murderer. Astaghfirullah. In Rasulullah's sword, imagine the blessed sword, there was something written on it. And the Sahaba read it, and what was on it? The worst enemy of Allah is the murderer. How many enemies has he got? Shaitan, Dajjal, Firon, Haman, Karun, Abu Jahl, Abu Lahab. What about us? Anything we need to be careful of? Don't you dare kill anybody. You kill anybody, you become the worst enemy in the sight of. What's he gonna do? Give you, you know, roses and chocolates, right? He's gonna take you to the cleavers. Meaning, do not take the blood of anybody. Another report. In Ibn Majah Isbahani Tafsir Mazhari Ma'rif al-Quran, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever helps in the killing of a believer by assisting the killing even with one word, he will be brought before Allah on the day of judgment, and written on his forehead will be deprived of the mercy of Allah. Astaghfirullah. So let's look at this. Another Sahih hadith. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? You haven't murdered, but you said one word to help it. Imagine that. Somebody goes, I haven't got blood on my hands. But didn't you give him the green light? Didn't you nod your head? Didn't you say one word? Yeah, you're doomed. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, on your head. Not the one who's killed. The one who said one word. Deprived of the mercy of Allah, written on his forehead. Question. What about the one who pulled the trigger? If he's deprived of the mercy of Allah, what about this? So there you go. The Prophet's warning you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning, if you do this, you're on your own. Because I've got nothing to do with you if you kill a believer. So now, what does it say? You've helped. Now, this is disastrous. So let me mention a few things here. First of all, Ibn Abbas is a report. Ibn Abbas, this hadith is in Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, number 27,753. A man came to Ibn Abbas and he said, is there any repentance for the one who kills a believer? Ibn Abbas said, no, hellfire. The man left. Some of his companions said, oh, teacher, you didn't say that earlier. Because to another man, he goes, look after your mother. So he said, you said that the one who kills a believer can have an accepted repentance. What is different today? Ibn Abbas said, I think this man was angry and he wanted to kill a believer. Those there followed the man, and subhanallah, it was as if Ibn Abbas knew. So that man was actually wanted to kill. So he came to Ibn Abbas and he goes, like we'd say, let me just make sure that I can do tawbah afterwards. So Ibn Abbas, too quick, he goes, no, you're going to hell. But then the people told, but he said that to another person, you just look after your mother, maybe Allah will forgive you. He goes, that man I feel in my heart, he wants to kill. So I go, no. And they found out, right? He goes, he was right. So this shows the brilliance of Ibn Abbas. So now helping to kill. How severe is this? So the hadith mentioned, the hadith is in Imam Ahmad's Musnad Targhib. Our beloved Messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, none of you must witness a killing, lest the innocent one who is oppressed and the witness is also afflicted by the wrath of Allah. So here the Prophet is warning you about something. He's saying, do not even be present when an innocent person is being killed. Allah's wrath is descending. Now question, the person who's witnessing, he's got nothing to do with it. But because la'anat, the wrath is coming, the Prophet goes, you're in trouble. A second report in Tabarani, and it's authentic. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perhaps the oppressed is killed and the wrath descends on them and the witness involves himself with them. He will also get the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A third report. In Tabarani and Bayhaqi, and it's Hassan, said Imam Mundhiri and Targhib, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, one of you must not stand when a man is being killed unjustly, for the curse of Allah descends on all who are present whilst he is not being defended. And none of you must stand when a man is being beaten unjustly, For the curse of Allah descends on those who are present whilst he is not defended. So a person goes, okay, the disaster now is mobile phones. People start spreading things. Oh, do you see, look at this man, he got killed, he got shot. What are you showing me for? Right? And he goes, no, I just thought I'll show you. Lanat's descending. So you don't physically have to be present now. And shaitan's bringing it to you. So you should say to everybody on the phone, look, don't show me anybody getting beaten up. Don't show me anybody getting killed. Anybody with his ears being chopped. I don't want to see any of that. And he goes, why? Because you're not. Because Lanat's coming. And if you're present and you don't even speak out against it, you're going to be afflicted by this. And what did the Prophet ﷺ say? One word. Deprived of the mercy of Allah, written on his forehead. If that's a joke to you, that means that you've got to question your iman. And how many times people send these crazy clips? Watch this. Guy comes with, what are you showing me this for? Astaghfirullah. The way I see it is, and also backbiting. Before, you needed a person to backbite. Now you can do it yourself. Imagine, phone. Shaitan making you having a field day with this. Mobile phone in it, mashallah. Zindabad. So now another thing here. The hadith mentions, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Sahih Bukhari, there is always a leeway for the person to escape blame for all his sins he might commit, except when there is blood on his hands. So Rasulullah kept saying it again and again. He goes, any sin, Allah Ta'ala is so merciful, but do not have blood on your hands. He kept saying that, do not have blood on your hands. Otherwise, he goes, you're in serious trouble. According to Imam Ahmad, he goes, you may even die without iman. So now, what about those who ate? So, just to add this. In the Shariat, if a person is killed, do you kill him the same way he's been killed? So there's a report. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. And also, Tirmidhi, number 1394, Sahih. A young woman was killed. No, she wasn't. She was on the verge of death. Somebody had struck her with a rock on the head and taken her ornaments. She was brought to Rasulullah and she was on the last few breaths. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, did so-and-so strike you? And she did this with her head, meaning no. Then he asked, did so-and-so strike you? Until he finally named a Jew. And the woman then nodded her head and then she passed away. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then brought the Jew, ordered his head to be crushed between two stones. So this is a hadith. How did she kill the woman? Rasulullah afflicted the same on her, on him, the Jew. So now Imam Tirmidhi said something here about this hadith. This hadith is acted upon according to some people of knowledge. Imam Ahmad ibn Ishaq, they all act upon this. Some of the people of knowledge said, no, you just killed them with a sword. There's a difference of opinion, right? So Imam Ahmad said, if he's killed in a brutal way, you kill that person in the same way. Because of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Other Imam said, no, just take him back to Allah Ta'ala, chop his head off. Allah Ta'ala will deal with him. So now, who said that? In Tuhfat al-Ahwazi, volume 2, page 305, the Imams have differed. According to Imam Abu Hanifa, killing by the sword is what you do. You take his life very quickly, you humane in killing, and you send him back to Allah. But Imam Ahmad goes, no. If he's killed in a brutal way, he's killed in the same way. Think about that. That's actually part of our teachings. So now a few questions, important questions with regards to murder. What if the father kills his son or daughter? Astaghfirullah. The hadith mentions, and this is in Tirmidhi, graded Sahih in Irwa'ul Ghalil, number 2214. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the father is not killed for his child. So that's an exception. If a father kills his son or daughter, of course he's dealt with in prison, whatever, but you cannot kill him. The Prophet goes, no, his blood can't be taken for his son or daughter. What else? The victim, if he is a slave and the murderer was a free person, then he is not to be killed. Hassan al-Basri said, a free person is not to be killed due to the killing of a slave. This is recorded in Abu Dawood, graded authentic, in Sahih Sunan Abi Dawud number 3787. So this is more of a, with regards to jihad. If a group of people kill one person, who's to be killed? Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib said, Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu, put to death a group of people, 5-7, due to killing one person by deceiving him to a remote location, killing him there. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, radiyallahu, if all the people of Yemen had taken part in the plot to kill this one person, I would have killed them all. This is recorded in Imam Malik's Muwatta, Imam Shafi in his Al-Umm Bayhaqi, graded Sahih in Irwa ul-Ghalil, number 2201. So think about this. They lured a person and they killed him. Seven people were killed for that because seven of them lured him there. Amir al-Mu'mineen goes, forget about seven. If the whole of Yemen did it, I'll take them all out for killing that one person. So according to Hazrat Umar, they all killed him. Another very important thing. Their relatives can take blood money. That means they don't have to take his life. But what if there's a difference of opinion? Some relatives say, kill him. But one dissents, he goes, no, I don't want to kill him. If one dissents, then the blood is spared. In a hadith it mentions, this is in Abdul Razak, graded Sahih in Irwa ul-Ghalil, number 2222, Zayd ibn Wahabi said, a man killing another man was brought to Umar. The relatives of the victim wanted the murderer to be put to death. But the sister of the victim, who was the wife of the murderer, she said, no, I don't want his blood. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Subhanallah, the man has been spared death. So look how strange. Man kills a man, he's brought to the authorities. Everyone goes, kill him. We want him dead. One woman says no. And that woman was the wife of the murderer. So Umar looked at the woman thinking, he goes, you spared him. Meaning you all have to agree to death. If one dissents, you cannot take the blood of that person. Think about that. SubhanAllah. In another report it mentions, this is in Bayhaqi, graded Sahih, in Irwa ul-Ghalil, number 2225. A man found his wife with another man and he killed her. That case was brought to Umar. One of the victim's sisters gave her right to have him put to death, gave up the right. Umar said, you must accept blood money. You must all agree, otherwise the blood has to be spared. So this is another thing that we need to be aware of here. So it's not just everybody just gets killed. You know, there's all these other rules and regulations. And finally, this is another very important question. Is one allowed to kill another Muslim when his own life is threatened? Or when the life of his family is threatened? This is a good question. Somebody goes, look, this man killed, he was forced to kill because his family had been taken hostage. Right? And he goes, if you don't do what we tell you to do, we're going to kill your wife, your kids, they're all dead. So this man, now bachara, he has to do something. Can he kill in that situation? It is not allowed for one Muslim to save his life or the life of his family by intentionally killing another Muslim. Subhanallah. Hence, even though there is a case of force, he must accept his own fate from the one doing the coercing. It is forbidden for him to kill another Muslim. If he does so, he will be taken to the authorities. Now look how shocking that is. Even though he goes, look, my wife's going to get killed, my kids. You can't kill. You've got no right to kill somebody else. If you do, you are responsible. Imam Qurtubi said in his tafsir, the people of knowledge agree, if one is being forced to kill another person, it is not allowed for him to go forward and kill him. Now, why is it so important? Look at the Muslim world. Reflect. The only way a tyrant could get his Muslim citizens to fight is by threatening his family with death or imprisonment. By this means, tyrants have been able to gather large armies, afflict the ummah with great mischief. If those soldiers had realized that even under force, they were not allowed to kill a single Muslim, This would have crippled the tyrants and it would have weakened their power. Think about that. Tyrants, people aren't listening to them because they love them. Right? You know, they're not Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. Right? Why are you listening to them? What am I supposed to do? If I don't, then my family's going to get wiped out. You still can't listen to him. Like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Are you a Muslim? So look at the beauty of our Shariat. People have left Quran. Got their own versions. No, I'm what I be. No, you're not. So now, okay, to finish. What if the Bachara pulls the trigger? Who's responsible? The one who's forced him or the one who's pulled the trigger? There's four views. According to Imam Malik, Imam Ahmad and Imam Shafi, retribution is applied to both the one forced and the one who's done. So think about that. He's killed somebody because he's worried about his family and kids. According to three of the Imams, the one who's forced the man to do it, he's killed. And the one who's pulled the trigger, even though he's trying to save his family. Think about that. According to Imam Abu Hanifa, Imam Muhammad, the law is applied only to the one who's forcing. So the Hanifi said no. The one who's forced him, the tyrant, his blood, not the one who's forced. They argue that, look, under pressure, he's going to be doing this without even thinking. Third view. The one doing the act of killing, he's responsible, not even the one forced. So the tyrant gets away. The one who's pulled the trigger. This is the view of Imam Zufar, the student of Imam Abu Hanifa. Another view of Imam Shafi. And there's a fourth view. Imam Abu Yusuf said, nobody gets to be taken out. Because the one who's forced didn't actually do anything. The one forced isn't responsible. So Abu Yusuf said only blood money is to be paid. And all of this can be found in the book, Commentary on the 40 Hadith of Imam Nawawi by Sheikh Jamal al-Din Muhammad Zarabozo, Volume 2, page 1522-1523. So note, it's all detailed. All of the fiqh has been given by the respected Imams. They've explained this. Whatever the case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger is manifest. So blood, you have to keep away from this. Why do you think the Sahaba kept away from civil war? If I was to tell you how many companions got involved in the civil war, according to a Sahih Hadith in Ahmad, less than 100. Though there was tens of thousands of Sahaba still alive, they didn't get involved because they're the most God-fearing people. Why didn't they get involved with Ali and Muawiyah's dispute? We don't want nothing to do with this. We don't want blood on our hands. Sahaba, even though they're companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And alhamdulillah, most of us haven't got blood on our hands. But sadly, some people think this is a small thing now. In fact, a time would come where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the Sahih Muslim, a person would be killed and he will not know for what reason he was killed. Right? Think about it. Normally, a person gets killed for a reason. Now people get killed. Why was I killed? And I heard that hadith and when I was a bit younger, and I thought, whoa. But then you start seeing all these sniper shootings. Campus, you know, then crackpots, just killing, you know. Why did you kill them? Well, didn't like their face. Right? This is a sign of Qiyamah. You know, subhanAllah. So I'll recite the verse and we will come. Oh, just to add this, sorry. Hafiz Ibn Kathir said in his tafsir, there are mutawatir reports stating that Rasulullah had said, whoever has the least amount of iman in his heart shall ultimately leave the fire. This is in Sahih Bukhari number 44, number 7509, Tirmidhi number 2958, mutawatir. Now that's important. It means it's like Quran. Now you can restrict the verse. If a mutawatir hadith has reached us, that can restrict the verse, and there it is. If you've got an atom's worth of iman, you will eventually leave the fire. So this has to be, of course, with regards to the murder as well. He must have had some iman if he's a Muslim. So alhamdulillah, there is some leeway there. And just another thing, sorry, I should have mentioned. In Darul Qutni 3-139, Behaki 8-50, Abdul Razak in his Musannaf number 17,892, our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the killer will be killed and the one who held the victim will be held in custody until death. So according to a direct hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if a person is holding somebody and the person is killed, the person who held him is given a life sentence in prison. Just like he held that person, according to a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I'll recite the verse and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ومن يقتل مؤمنا متعمدا فجزاؤه جهنم خالدا فيها وغضب الله عليه ولعنه وعد له عذابا عظيما. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Quran the Nabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any edits which I may have inadvertently uttered. Subhanahu bihamdi, subhanahu allahumma bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun ala al mursalin, walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, alladhina amanu wa amilus salihat, wa tawassaw bil haqq, wa tawassaw bis sabr, sadaqallahu.